Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him."
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here this morning with you and to be sharing in this service. Also, as I was preparing for today, I've really been praying for us this week as we go into Holy Week, which is such a significant and important week for us as people of faith, isn't it? And especially as we go into a second year of lockdown when we can't be together. So just praying that God's Holy Spirit will be particularly close to each one of us, that we might get a real sense of family this week as we move and think about these last days of Jesus. And it's an amazing week, isn't it? It's a week that speaks so much to us about who Jesus was and what he came, his mission for us. It's a mission that is important for us in so many ways and so significant for the world. And what a week it is. It's a real roller coaster, isn't it? As we think through the events and the journey of Jesus this week, and the Gospels give us almost a day by day account of what happened to him during this time. A real mixture of emotion. There's celebration in there today, isn't there? We're going to be thinking about that. There's powerful words and actions in the temple as he moves into the temple. And then it turns to an intimate meal with friends, people that are so close to him that he loves. And then it goes to a time in the garden of distress, of pain for Jesus, moving on to betrayal, an unfair trial, execution and death. But then it finishes on Sunday, as we'll be celebrating, in amazing resurrection and life, new life and joy. What an amazing week that we're starting to ponder and think about as we move into this week ahead of us. And today it starts with the royal procession, doesn't it? We've been thinking about this morning as Hilary has been leading us. And I wonder if, David, if we could have up the PowerPoint, just a few visual pictures to help us think about this week. So we're going to move on to the next slide there, David. I don't know if any of you have ever witnessed this at all when you've been up in London. A few years ago, I was up in London with my mum. I was meeting her. She lives in southeast London, and we sometimes meet up in central London. And we decided that we'd walk from Victoria Station up the Mall and to go into Trafalgar Square. And we saw this amazing sight. But what was fascinating was that there was a sense that something exciting was going to happen even before the carriages arrived. There was a tension in the air. People were beginning to gather along the side of the Mall, and there was a buzz and excitement waiting for something to happen. And we had no idea what was going on. And then all of a sudden, this huge group of Gurkhas marched down the mile, and then these wonderful carriages. And someone told us that it was the arrival of the ambassadors. I don't know if anyone has seen this, but it happens fairly regularly, apparently, in London. But it was quite an experience of procession, and of celebration, of excitement and expectation. And this is what we come into at this point in the Easter story, Jesus arriving in Jerusalem. And as we read the account that we've been looking at in John today, it's all in all four of the Gospels, this story, you get a real sense of this idea of celebration and anticipation as Jesus comes into Jerusalem. John tells us it's the time of Passover, and Jerusalem is absolutely packed full of people. It's full of news as well. People are sharing information, and they're sharing information about Jesus. They've heard about this rabbi who's doing amazing things, a man of miracles, a man who raises people from the dead. And they want to see him. They want to find out what it's all about. And they join together and celebrate as he comes into the city. This is incredibly public. And it's also incredibly prophetic, as we're going to find out as we move through the story. It's also really fascinating because people reacted in different ways. And Hilary's already started to talk about this, the different reactions to Jesus that this story shows us. So let's have another slide there, David. Jesus is coming in, and we notice the crowd, though, it's really mixed, isn't it? And I suspect it was really mixed. There'll be people already with faith there that have heard about Jesus, that believe in him. But there's going to be lots of people that just want to find out what's going on, to be part of the crowd, to be part of this moment, this event. So first of all, we're just going to think about the crowd, and we'll have the next slide again, David. Thank you. It's a really busy time. As I said, Jerusalem is full of people, and they've come to celebrate Passover. And many of you will know that this is a really important celebration in the Jewish calendar, even today. It's the point when the Jewish people celebrate the Israelites getting released from their slavery and their experience of oppression in Egypt. And there's a real sense of joy. They're shouting, Hosanna. Save us now. They're throwing down cloaks and palm leaves. They're greeting Jesus like a king, like a conqueror. And for many of them in the crowd, they would know that there's huge symbolism in what they're doing. As you go back into the Old Testament in 2 Kings, we discovered this is exactly what the Jewish people did when they proclaimed and expressed the kingship of King Jehoah. And then 200 years ago, they would already know it in their more recent history. The people again cut down palm branches and they welcomed a man called Judas Maccabeus into Jerusalem. They were shouting and calling for him to be their king and to free them from the pagan armies that were in Jerusalem. It's right there in their history as they do this. But it goes back even further than that. It goes back to David, and some of the words that they were shouting are used, and you can find them in the Psalms, as they welcome David into the city. This was hundreds of years of expectation of the Jewish people waiting and praying for the Messiah, for the king to come and save them. A lot of them would be longing for this. Historians tell us that to live in Israel at that time in Judah was a hard thing to do. Many people were very poor. They were under the oppression of Rome. Life was really hard for them. They were an occupied people. But just for this moment, there's a sense of party, a moment of release, of celebrating together. Could this be their Messiah? Could this be the person that's going to save them and conquer the Romans? You can almost feel it, can't you? And yet, as they party, there's something unexpected happening, something that the Old Testament helps us to make sense of. And the reading that we had right at the beginning from the message is from Matthew. And it gives us a bit more information about what's going on here, because it tells us that this was all part of the prophecy of the Messiah coming, that the longed for king would arrive on a donkey. And the other Gospels tell us that Jesus specifically organised for this to happen. He knew how significant this was, and he arranged for a donkey to be collected, and he entered the city on a donkey. This is a real visual way that Jesus is proclaiming that he's going to be their king, a king who arrives on a donkey. But no one seems to notice. They don't seem to see the significance of this. And it's a bit like our culture today. people kind of know and hear of Jesus. They have understandings of what they think he is, but they just don't really see what is before their eyes. And there's a real problem going on in this story because no one seems to understand what's really going on. They're having a great time, but haven't really got a clue. They don't realise that the words that they're chanting are actually the truth, that truth is coming real before their eyes. And that brings us to the disciples. Let's have the next slide there, David. So the disciples themselves also don't seem to really understand. They've shared years of ministry with Jesus, but they're not really grasping what's happening and the truth about who Jesus was and what he needs to do in the week ahead. They're a group of people that have given up so much for Jesus. They believe in him. They've learned for him. They've cared for him. They're amazed at what he does. And they know that he's special. But at this point in the story, John tells us that they haven't really got a clue what's going on. They can't really see what's in front of them. They've got a bit further to go in their own growth and understanding before they truly grasp what happens. And the week ahead of them is going to be life-changing, and they're going to be confused at points. They're going to be fearful as they progress through this next week because it's not going to be quite what they were expecting. And I can kind of really identify with this. Sometimes I feel like this. I don't always get what's in front of me. I don't always really understand. And I need to ask God to help me to have his eyes of what's happening. And then finally, we've got another group that are just really interesting in this story. We've got the religious leaders. And we'll have the next slide there, David, just to think about that. This is the establishment. They're the ones in charge. And they're a bit rattled, aren't they? They don't really like this reaction that the crowd is having to Jesus. Possibly they're jealous. They feel threatened by him. They think Jesus is a bit of a troublemaker. He's disturbing the status quo. But more than that, he's radically challenging their views and beliefs. And he's asking to see things in a different way. He's asking them to open their spiritual eyes in a different way. Because they've not really understood who he is either. And they've closed their minds to him. And they've closed their minds to their own scripture that tells us about Jesus. Jesus was a threat. Their minds are made up and Jesus has to be stopped. So it's quite a story, this, isn't it? Emotions are running high as Jesus comes into Jerusalem. He's surrounded by a noisy crowd that could easily turn nasty. There's Pharisees that are plotting and jealous, and his closest friends don't really have a clue what's going on. There's misplaced expectations, there's closed minds, and there's limited understanding. And Matthew tells us, the passage that we had at the beginning, that this whole event generated a question across the city. Who is this? Matthew says, they asked. Who is this? Who is this man? Let's have the slide again there as we just think about this, David. This question about who is this man? It's a question that challenges us today. Because we're still presented by this same question as people, aren't we? This question that 2,000 years ago they asked as Jesus came into Jerusalem. Who is Jesus? Is he a prophet? Is he a troublemaker? Or is he a saviour? I've been really privileged over the years, and some of you might have been as well, to be involved in Alpha groups. They're a great group to be involved with as people get together in a safe place to ask questions about faith. And lots of people ask this question in Alpha, who is Jesus? And it's really great to be able to travel with people as they ask this question and as they begin to discover for themselves who Jesus is, as they meet Jesus for the first time. And for many, it's a real revelation. Their eyes are opened. Just like the crowd, so many people in our own generation just don't understand, do they? And it's something that we long for many of our family and for our colleagues and our neighbours. I wonder if someone asked you this question, who is Jesus? How would you answer them? Do you really understand, or have you really listened to the questions that people might be asking around you? And have you an answer? Have you thought through what you might say? Are you prepared to answer this question? Can you pop the next slide up there, David? Lots of people have done this. Some of you might recognise this person, maybe not. It's C.S. Lewis. He's famous for writing the Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe. And he makes this quote. It's a very famous quote, and they use it in Alpha quite a lot to get some discussion going about who people think Jesus might be. And I just popped it up there as an example of somebody who went through this process of asking that question, who is Jesus? Lewis himself took this question really seriously. He spent time studying and talking to others to find out who Jesus was. He was a great skeptic at the beginning of his journey, a real academic. But as he explored and looked into this, he came face to face with Jesus, King of Kings. And this is really central to us, isn't it? Because who Jesus is, it is central to our faith. It's important that we think this through, because our belief all hinges on who he is and what he has accomplished. And we think about this so much, don't we, during Easter week, and why it's so significant to us. Because the man who entered Jerusalem on a donkey radically changes the way that we live now. It changes who we are. It changes us inside. It changes our behaviour. And it gives us hope. It gives us hope for the future and in the life to come. It's one of the biggest questions that we can ask in life. Who is Jesus? Let's go to the next slide there, David. But what's fascinating about this story, it gives us lots of information about who Jesus is. And if you look hard enough, and if you listen hard enough to this story, it's all there for us to discover. Because the story tells us that Jesus, who entered into Jerusalem, and the four Gospels write about this in different ways and give us different information or clues to help us understand in the way that they tell this story. It tells us that the man that was entering Jerusalem was God himself. The account in Luke is really interesting because Luke uses a phrase. He says, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." I wonder if you recognise that from another key event in the Christian calendar, because it was used at the Christmas story. And the angels used it to proclaim the birth of Jesus, to proclaim the birth of the Messiah, the Lord. So Luke's telling us that it's the Lord God himself who's entering into Jerusalem, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus knew where this journey would end. And he came into Jerusalem obediently. He was starting a journey that he knew was going to lead to his death. And he arrived humbly on a donkey, not to be served, but to serve and to give up his life a ransom for many. He didn't come like the conquering king that the crowd were looking for, but he came as a man of humility, a man who would save the whole world. He wasn't quite the hero that they were expecting. He didn't conform to their idea of a saviour who was going to beat the Romans and make the Jewish nation great again. He didn't arrive on a war horse. He came on a humble donkey. And it's a really powerful image for us. It doesn't fit the picture of worldly power and a conquering king, but a king who comes in humility. And in a few days, this crowd were going to turn against him. And Jesus would be handed over to the Romans and he'd be crucified as a common criminal on a cross. What they had failed to grasp was that Jesus had come to do so much more. And later in the chapter, as we read through John, John tells us that Jesus had come to do something that would change the world. He'd come to show us what God was like. He came to save us. He came to fulfill the Hosanna. He came to bring light into the darkness. So as we finish up, I wonder what your response is to this story as you ponder on it today and as you use it to prepare for Easter week. I want to ask you a question. Do you know who Jesus is? Do you want to know him more? And do you have an answer in your heart that you can share with other people? As we move into this Easter week, this story, this wonderful story, it just encourages me to want to worship, as we've done this morning, to join in with the crowd and to shout out to Jesus, fully understanding who he is as my saviour. Jesus, who came in humility, who came to save me, who came to save us, and who willingly submitted to this journey that God had called him to. And as I finish up now, I want to read some beautiful words from Philippians. They're one of the most favourite parts of the Bible for me, a really significant passage, and many of you, I'm sure, will love them too. It describes Jesus so beautifully. And as I read these, you might just want to close your eyes with the image of Jesus entering Jerusalem on the donkey and think about this and join in with the worship of the crowd, singing Hosanna to Jesus. Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. So from Philippians 2. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.